Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Is it Aaron? Is it Joshua? Is it Moses? Moses spent long hours with the Lord. And after being with the Lord for long hours, if you read, you see that when he descended, the face, you can tell somebody who is prayerful. You can tell. Because actually, one of the things prayer does is that it transfigures you. And one of the transfiguration characteristics is that your face changes, your apparel changes, your appearance changes. Something happens to you. Your face. Face is very important. And 2 Corinthians, you read that Moses, when he was, read it. Look at 2 Corinthians. 3. Verse 7. But if the ministration, 2 Corinthians 3, everybody look for it. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. Say the face of Moses.
The face of Moses.
For the glory of his countenance. You see it right there. The face. They couldn't see it. Because you see, when you stay in the presence of something for a long time, it shows on your face. It shows on your appearance. I can tell anybody here to stand up. I can tell you that the way you are dressed is because of a design you have been looking at for a long time. Either it's your shoe, your shirt, something. There is something you are looking at. That is why you have the audacity to wear such a tight blouse. Because it yeasts your breast. And if we follow you to your house and to your friends, we'll find that your friends wear such things. That's why 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that as we behold his glory, we are changed into the same image. Whatever you behold is what you become. If you stay in God's presence, your face. So what? There are many times I don't even speak. Just by looking at a person, the person knows what I'm saying. I just look at you. Just eye contact. You get up from there. This is not the normal face. This cannot be a normal face. People, your church members can look at your face. There's nothing in your face. A girl, she can just stand and do the dick on your face. The pastor. Pastor. Church member. You are a male pastor. She just stand. It's like there's no glory on your face. Say, I'm becoming anointed. Say, I'm becoming like Moses. Say, my face is shining. My face is shining. My presence is filled with the anointing. Say, I'm being anointed by staying in God's presence. By praying for long hours. By engaging the Holy Ghost for a long time. I am becoming anointed. Say, from today, dryness leaves my life. I'm not dry again. I'm not dry anymore. I am anointed. The anointing of God, the anointing of God is upon me, like Jesus, day and night in prayer, 40 days in prayer, 1 week in prayer, all night in prayer, all day in prayer, hours in prayer, talking to God. As I stay in God's presence, I can't hear you. As I stay in God's presence, say, as I stay in God's presence, not for a few minutes, but for long hours, I am becoming anointed. I'm becoming anointed. And it's the anointing that builds percenters, that builds churches, that builds congregations, that builds lives. The anointing through prayer makes me a builder in the name of Jesus. Number four, pray. Because prayer binds demonic activities in your ministry. Demonic activities. Dear pastor friend, a church is not a secular organization. You need to bind the devil for several important reasons. Listen, listen to this. I'm talking to pastoral leaders. I'm talking to pastors of churches. I'm talking to leaders of congregations. You must bind this activity that causes divisions and disloyalty amongst leaders. Many of you don't know that. Your shepherds are very you don't even know the discussions they have over you, about you. Because you don't pray. You don't pray. So the lack of the fervent prayer in your system makes your system cold. And flies can only be found in cold places. Only places which are cool. Once there's heat, no fly can come there. Your members, they talk to you anyhow. They can talk. Can you imagine my member coming to talk to me anyhow? You must be joking. You must be a wazim. You must be out of your mind. You must bind his influence that causes backsliding, immorality, and sin in your members. There's somebody here on your stage. I see a girl. She's a very, 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 very juicy fornicator. She's in a choir. Either the leader, or somebody who leads, other the music director, or one of the in the choir. Somebody here. There's a girl on your stage. She's a very sexy girl. And the day you hear it, you will fall down. You will literally tip over. Like Eli fell when he heard a piece of news. He actually fell from his chair. Yeah. And that was his end. And it's because you don't pray. You don't pray. You are not vigilant. You are not alert. You're not alert. So a lot of things are going on. And because you are not alert and vigilant, you are not aware that such sin to a certain degree is going on around you. That's why we pray. One of the prayers we pray, if you're a pastor, listen, if you are a bartender leader, one of the prayers you must pray is prayers of binding. Bind demons of disloyalty, unfaithfulness, immorality, sin. Bind backsliding. Members come and they go. They don't stay. Bind them. Number three, you must bind the demons that cause poverty, depression, and oppression in your members. There are things going on in your church. It's because you, the watchman, you are not watching. Neither do you declare. You don't blow the shofar. Papa, papa, let there be a gathering of the saints to pray. You don't pray. You yourself don't pray. So you don't gather them to pray. You must bind the spirits that raise accusations and slander against the church. Whether you like it or not, Satan assigns demons to attack and destroy the church. Yes. And the sign, when Satan enters, when demons enter a person, the person doesn't develop wings. When Satan enters a person, you don't use the presence of claws to tell that this girl is demon possessed. When Satan is in the system, you know it by the kind of accusations and the slander. You can tell somebody is demon possessed by how the person can slander and accuse and lie. You know Satan is in the system, but the level of immorality, backsliding, carnality is there. And because you yourself are not prayerfully alert, you are not alert, you are not alive, you are not alert. So things are going on. Things are going on. And the next thing is that you, the pastor, you'll be the next victim. If you don't bind the devil, he will bind you in your own church. You'll be unable to minister. Oh, how true. No one will receive from you. And you will wonder what is going on. The devil will enter your congregation time and time again. There will be a complex network of stories, accusations, slander, and discussions that constantly divide the church. Divided choir. Ushers are divided. Communion wine drinkers are divided. Leaders, shepherds are divided. Basin leaders are divided. I'm for this, I'm for that. And because you don't pray. All you have is a title. And the church building has been given to you. And congregation you went to meet. And pictures you put on Facebook. But pastor, you are doing ministry with the supreme code of prayer. It's not your type. You ask yourself, how many leaders has your ministry generated since you've been in that church? You cannot even tell that you yourself, you are backsliding. You can't tell that you yourself, you are going down. By evidence, by your love for this and that, social media, prayerlessness, the kind of friends you are gravitating towards, the kind of things you wear, the kind of places you go, the kind of movies you watch, and the kind of association. You can't tell. The Bible says that judge yourself and you will not be judged. You should be able to see that I am backsliding. I don't need to tell you. Pray. Number five. Because prayer creates and gives birth to new dimensions in ministry. Say new dimensions. New dimensions. I can't hear you. Say new dimensions in ministry. Dimensions. Yes. Isaiah 66 and verse 8. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Hey, no new converts are coming up in your church because you don't pray. When you travel, you bring forth. It's called new dimensions. Even you yourself, your own personal ministry gives birth to new dimensions. If he's teaching, they wonder, hey, child, my pastor is changing these days. So the way he ministers is different. That's a new dimension. It comes by traveling. You don't bring forth without traveling. Isaiah 66. As soon as Zion traveled, She brought what? I want to ask you. When was... Can you give me the names of new converts who have joined your church in the past 6 months? New converts who are becoming shepherds in the past 6 months. Produce the data. I'm talking to people. Why are you quiet? They're not interested in what I'm saying. So I should stop and go home. Now I'm asking, where are the new dimensions? I don't know if I'm saying something wrong. Why are they? We know you that you're a lady pastor. You were appointed 6 years ago. What is new about you? What is new that we can say, oh, Tali, this reverend, this pastor, something new is happening to him. Something new. Nothing. The same you. The same. In fact, what we don't know is that you're actually a backslidden pastor. Only that the title gives you a certain facade. What new dimensions? 7 years ago, you were preaching the same way you preach, the same way you preach. The same going to church and coming back. Go come. What is new? What's new? Like, oh, now we can say, Pastor Fred is now into crusades. Or he's now into the prophetic ministry. Or his teaching has gone to the next level. I'm asking a question. I'm saying that it's because you don't pray. You don't pray. You don't pray. That's why you are the same. You don't pray. New dimensions, even God, he said, I make a new heaven and a new earth. If you don't pray, there will be nothing new. You'll be the same person. Look, there are branches. I went to a branch, one of our branches recently. The same people, they are the same. Nothing has changed. They just attend church. They enter out, in, out, in, out, in. Nothing has changed. They are just there with gray hairs. Anybody who prays gives birth to something. Even levels. Christ began as soon as he started in Luke 4 also. He had four fishermen. Four. Two were mending their nets. Two were casting their nets. Before we knew, the guy had 12. Even to give birth to a new dimension of size. Like you have a 200 member church, but the church is now moving to 300. That transition is a birth that comes through travail in prayer. And of course, other sources of travail, other forms of travail. You don't pray. You see, everything else you will do, and hear me well, I say do in your basenta, and I mean do. The things you will do, the new things you will do, will come as a result of a voice you heard as you prayed. So the momentum to search forward, it comes through. So you may find me having a camp. You may find me having some meetings. You may find me having some reviews and doing something. But what you don't know is that it was birthed from prayer. It was in God's presence. Sometimes it's in my car as I'm driving. Because as I'm driving, I'm praying. I'm praying. You came, we made your bachelor leader. It's just to change your life. It's just to make your life. It's just, you see, this bachelor you are doing is just to help you to escape the evil that has destroyed your great-grandfather, your grand-auntie, your big sister, and it's coming for you. The ministry, it is a rescue program. The ministry God gives us. It's not because you are important or you have anything to offer. It's a rescue program. It's to rescue you from yourself. That's why God makes you a pastor. Can you imagine me if I wasn't a pastor? Don't even imagine it. If you do, you will sin. Don't stop imagining it. If I wasn't a pastor, you don't know what you're dealing with. Because the ministry God gives us is our access to his presence. That's why Numbers says that. Is it a small thing that the God of Israel will choose you, number 16, and bring you to stand before the congregation, to be with him and to stand before the congregation? Anybody who stands in front of people to teach has been brought near God. And that nearness to God is your deliverance. That nearness to God is your blessing. That nearness to God is your good. You are a person who serves in the church. It's different from a person who does not serve in a church. They are different people. That's what Malachi 3 says. There'll be a difference between the one who serves and the one who serves him not. God notices service. Even we human beings, we notice service. We notice the way the girl sings. We notice the way the girl serves water. We notice the way the guy that we notice service, and God notices service. I'm saying to you today, wake up! There are new dimensions. You may know yourself as a teacher, as a pastor. You'll be shocked that you are an apostle. In fact, you'll be shocked that you are supposed to be a full-time pastor to start with. You will never know which dimensions. Yeah. There's a place, you for instance, there's a place you must be to meet the man who will marry you. And you are not there yet. You are in the church, but you are not there. And through prayer, you birth your life into a new role, even a role. Even in the choir, you can birth yourself from the back end of the choir to a frontliner, to a soloist, to a leader, to a pastor. You bet yourself. I was in Frankfurt. And the lady pastor of our Frankfurt branch, we had a lovely time. She, her husband, her children, beautiful. I just enjoyed them beautifully. And I went back to London. And I was talking to a brother. Said, oh, the pastor of the Frankfurt, oh. So I was asking, was she in a branch somewhere? He said, no. She's a praise and worship leader. Dinah. Beautiful woman. Beautiful soul. Flo. Nice. A daughter of Bishop Dagi Wadmills. I thought she was a pastor here. No. She was a worship leader singing in the London Apache Church. From a branch somewhere, came to London Apache. Singing. Her husband is a keyboardist. He's a pastor. They are missionaries in Frankfurt. You may be a singer, but you can bet your life and your ministry to a new dimension. Say new. New means that it has. We don't know you to be like that. We don't know you to be like that. When did you become like this? As soon as Zion prayed, she gave birth. Every day during this course. You are doing master's program, PhD here. You are doing Cornell University, Blackford University, Backbiting University. This university, Increase University. Today you are there. This call, you are going to America. You are doing this. You are there. What you don't know is that you have become a totally dry tree. And the reason is that you don't pray. I'm saying it again. I didn't say it well. I'm saying it well now. The next thing you need to know to do will come when you pray. Yes. The next thing, your next step in life, in ministry, in the church, in the call, your next step will come when you have entered the closet and shut the door. As soon as Zion traveled. In the ministry, we have numbers. We need shepherds with three members, betting themselves into seven. And you break out into ten. My God. In the Bible, we have a captain of 50. With his 50. Not a title of 50. Not a title of 50. It's a captain of 50. With. With. Many of you are captains of 50. With nothing sitting here. Without anything. With two. With three. But a real captain of 50 is with his 50. In Luke 7, we hear and read about the story of the centurion. A leader, a general of 100 troops. A centurion is a leader of 100. So you can have 50. Now you break out into 100. By prayer. We in First Love now, they've started centurion reverence. Now, anybody who is a reverend has to prove himself is a reverend by having 100 members in your constituency, region, basin. I mean, brand new, not somebody's old people you have inherited. Centurion reverence. Useless. There's no vision. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. There's no vision. That's how many of you are perishing. Anytime you don't give yourself a target, you will perish. I'm not perishing. My pastor gave me a target. And I'm driving my life with the target. There's a number of camps I must have. And I'm having it. It's not happening now. It's happening. It's happening. And I'm giving birth. Give yourself a target. Where there is no vision, the people do what? Perish. Give yourself a target. A number of verses you read a day. A chapter of a Bible. A book. Give yourself a target. A soul a week. Something. Think. Dream. But you will never see anything new in your life till you are in prayer. Because in prayer, we talk to God and He talks back to us. He talks back. New dimensions. The church in Acts. In Acts 2, the priests, 2,000, 3,000 were added to the church. The next time we hear, 5,000. The next time we hear, the whole city. The whole city has come. The entire city. Then the final one is the church in the wilderness in Hebrews. There were 2 million. These are numbers. Say, wouldn't you want to give you a target, your lifetime that you must be a pastor of 1,000 members? What are you doing? Every business vision, you have it. If you are dreaming of having a white secretary who is a white woman, so you can travel with her to Berlin. But no vision to have 1,000 members. You perish. Many of you are perishing. Let me tell you. Can I tell you something? If you don't sit down, I won't tell you. If you don't sit down, I won't tell you. I want to tell you something very, 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 very sobering and solemn. This one, you must listen to it. The thing you must do to make it in life, to let you stand out, to become great, to have a meaningful life, to break out of the shackles of the enemy. That step you must take to break free into greatness and into blessings. That step will never come to you from outside. It will come to you from inside you. It's from inside. No, anything I tell you, Jimama, do this. Alfred, do this. Betty, go here. Sister, do that. It is inferior. Instructions that come from outside are not the ultimate. So those who know God, they receive that instruction from outside and they process it. They what? Process the information through prayer, fasting, and through meditation. They process it till the thing becomes something that came from inside them. So two of us have received the same instruction, but I'm doing something entirely different from what you are doing. That which defiles doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside. In the same way, that which promotes doesn't come from outside. If you are waiting for me or your convener to give you an instruction to build the Manfi church, you must be out of your socket. What you need to do to build that Manfi church will come from your interaction with God. If you will not go to him, be there. Be there. What will change your council? What will change your cathedral? What will change your ministry will not be an instruction Bishop Kobe gave you. It comes from you. When that thing comes from you, you are a different person from somebody who received an instruction. I said, nothing defiles you till it is from inside of you. Inside. 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 So anybody who doesn't pray, doesn't spend time with God, doesn't receive things from within. All your things are what Bishop said, what Reverend said, what the book said. They say the almanac. Almanac? What? Almanac is guiding you. Wow. Let us all be giving the book from an almanac. Hear me preach it. You will know that I have not been almanacked. Something else is working inside of me. Oh yeah, baby. While you have the book. They say we must preach chapter 3, verse point number 3. It says that to have a mega church, you must have prayer meetings. Always. Say amen. Amen. With Jimmy. That's all we do. Many of your lives, and that's why even your personal life, if I talk about church, your academic, domestic, secular, social, it's all run down, ramshackle, because you don't hear from God. Your life is just being gathered by they said, she said, they say, let's go. What's happening? What's trending? What are they doing? They say we must braid our hair. I've done some. They say we must wear one pocket here. One is torn. We must cut this one. They say that the zip must be short so that our bowels will appear big inside the trousers. Oh! But you don't have. He said, who do men say that I am? They say you are John the Baptist. They say you are Elijah. They say, but what do you say? Yourself. What is God saying to you about your Christian life? About your spiritual? What is God saying to you? Yes, we know it has been preached. We know it's in the books. We know it, but I mean, Jesus. You have never read a verse and come out with a revelation that is unique. And a brand new revelation that makes somebody hit his lap. What? Everything you know is somebody's revelation he has taught you. Even in academic life, that's why we have to do research. It's called new knowledge. You did your master's with someone's knowledge. You to produce new knowledge for someone to also have his first degree. New knowledge. When will you have a revelation from the Bible? That we are there, you come with John 3:16 and you rattle us to our underwear with a revelation from John 3:16. Betty, wow! What a word. As I read it, the Lord told me, for God so loved the world, and you link love with eternal. Oh man. When? When will we hear something from you that is brand new? That's called a new dimension. I was there for this camp. It will be released. You will listen to it. And listen to what I'm preaching also. And draw your conclusions. My pastor expects me, after I have used his information to have my master's degree and PhD. I must do PhD and do research so that I also come up with something new. That is how civilizations advance, societies advance. Continents and nations and races, advancement is based on new knowledge. So a new knowledge is essentially a revelation. It's the Spirit of God who drops a light bulb in you. And you read a verse and you stand up. And say, wow, I've seen something. Even to buy new American Standard Bible. Or New Living Translation. It's not even okay to buy it. You are using a Bible. Even the words, you don't understand it. That's if you even have a Bible. But in prayer, the Holy Ghost will speak to you. Change your Bible. Add a new Bible. He speaks. The Spirit speaks expressly. He speaks. He teaches. He teaches. If you were to listen to God in prayer, he will show you how to break out. Let me tell you, there's a time, eh? There's a time you can have mates in your class and nobody is your classmate. Think about it. We can all be appointed 2021. We're all reverends, reverend. We are all mates in the same class. But none of you is my classmate. It's a level. It depends on the art of hearing. The degree to which I hear that you don't hear changes us. There may be mates in your class, but you can have a ministry without classmates. It depends on you. And I'm saying to you that I'm happy to see you in this camp. Next year, God willing, if you are alive, may you come here as a totally different girl from the girl who came for this camp. May I see you next year as a totally different guy with proper, nicely combed hair, in your right mind, sitting down in your right clothes. It will still not prevent the girls from falling for you, but at least you have been anointed enough to fend off the Jezebels and the witches. In 3 months' time, there'll be something new in your life. You are leaving this camp to go and pray. I said, you are leaving this camp to go and pray. Amen. You are going to be a prayerful pastor, amen, a prayerful Christian, amen, a prayerful believer. Amen. Receive the grace, the understanding, the wisdom of prayer, understanding of prayer, the grace of prayer, the capacity to pray, the willingness to pray, the joy of praying, and even the space to pray. The space to pray. The space to pray. Lift your hands and pray. Kasataba saka. Satakataba. Karababa. Kashikaba.
Andalaba kaya dalaba sataya.
Sabrakataba.
Imene no satayandele bekabayandele baba. Mosheke tayandala basiteke yamandele baba.
Sutaba.
Mamende le monda satakayandala basinele baba ya. Pray in the name of Jesus. Kabalo seteni mahayandele bayandele ba. Mondo lobo zindele bekapayandele mama satakaba.
Zimano mama
mama moshe dala bahayata kaba limrene imiri mini andala
yatabosh
mamanande holy masandele bayandele mokasata yandele mama
shuna maka
mondi mini mosa
standa mamosa
makandi
takalaba
bazandele
takalaba
arini rimosita
yandele zimondi bri bastuni mahanda
Alende le mosa,
Sona mama,
mamande le mashaba, rabaka pata,
shaprimiko patan sibidi,
mamanda la maza, imini mo la brandi limo la basa teke bayaba, malende li mande le mambanda la sata.
Lift your hands and receive a new grace for new dimensions.
New dimensions.
A new grace.
A new grace.
For new dimensions.
New dimensions.
Kala baba baba. It's called the spirit of supplication.
Oh, yes, in the name of
the
Jesus.
Spirit. Of supplication.
Spirit of supplication,
the spirit of prayer. It's a spirit. Let it come upon you.
Labraga,
Pastuna,
Samada,
Mayadi,
Broka,
Stanama,
Stanama,
Romiadi, Atunimi, Pustia, Pustiasu, Paniakas, Panunama, Poste, Mazantos, Sumini, Abaduama, Sukaniba, Apunamaka, Todika Posa, Matuaba, Adika Pose, Pendu Penda, Adinomo Suta, Boshkeba, 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 prayer, the ministry is prayer, Mayatababa, it is prayer, Sadini Mabosa,
Imam
Indelebo,
Imam
Indelebo, I see you sitting in your chair, in your room,
yes,
praying for hours.
In the name of Jesus.
Some love chocolates. Some love rice. Some love bread. Some people love shoes. Others love hats. Some love wigs. From today, you are going to love prayer.
Yes.
Ayadada maya
gadide.
Ayadi zania na maya da. Atana banana masita. Ime. Maduni masandala baba. Omi anomi na mama ya. Omi anomi manina. Soni ande na maya de. Ayayayayayayaya. Imande. Anana mazade
basile lipantani
pantu
bala baba
ye
ashendele limama mabini limiande ikamamande mamale masateli mande imani yanda lala mande amana banda lala mande
imaya mosa
baba
sunine ma takaya
Brindolo Mosutana
Shabada Kabaya
Prandebe Lambrandebe
Anamazuna
Lambrandebe
Ite Namo Sunde
Lambrandebe Lebe Palambamande Ayeni
Yamana
Zunkelimanda
Mayana
Saima Brandi Liba
Ayado Zebadia
Imbrolibia
Ayabo Zebadia
Mama
Ayabo Sidi Manayo
Kibiria Masa
Nanama
Mandia Bebe
Ayayanine Mide Masoda Apranda Sadiba Apranda Sadi
Ayakababa
Inamaya Zakabala
Kaba
Ayakabaya
Ayakamabala
Imaya
Ayamandalaba Ashindili
Imaya
Lokumroni
Imaya
La Bebe Lelebe
Imaya
Mandele Bebe
Sadabaka
Bebe
Imama Yandalabasa
Mambandala
Imandorobo Sunde
Sampante
Imaya
Kwandi Ribiandala Malebala Kwandi Ribiandala O Siniriba Masato Kurubo Romomo Lima Mandaye Mambanda Mandaye Imandala Mandaye
Inamaya Sata
Ayababa Masika tana mana mana dana
tunibamos
masati nini nima
tunimamos
ayene lima
tuniamahates
mamboli
standiko mandia atania
kostini
tananuma
zombololo zombolola
ayamade
premi
ayamade
Brenilili,
Ayamade,
Lomeli,
Ayamade,
Olia Bandala,
Suni Mamora,
Oli Bandalianda,
Ime, Namaya,
Zandala, Mambili, Mosha,
Ema Mayanda,
Kuniri Maza,
Ema Mayana,
Kuniri Maza,
Ema Yada Baba,
Pandala Labanali,
Imama,
Ima Bandala Baba,
Imaya,
Lima Mando,
Imaya
Zene.
Imaya
la babaza
ayayaya
anda kaguri
ayayaya
anda kaguri
ayayaya
ande kwanga
gada
gada gada gada gada
gada gada gada gada
gada gada gada gada
gada gada
gada gada gada gada
gada gada
gada gada gada
gada gada
gada gada gada
gada
gada gada gada gada
gada gada gada gada
gada gada
gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada gada
gada gada gada gada gada gada gada
gada
gada gada Mandala lama
ayanido stala baba
mandala lama
mande kabatuni mini mini
mandala lama
anamasa
mandala lama
emana
mandala lama
emanaya
mandala lama
ai tanamase
mambo
ai tanamase
mondelele mama
soto
mama kubolo
ramazade
brundili
ayadaba Imano caria basunde abranama maduni magadaba ah dadaba new dimensions may you break out into new dimensions anamazata new dimensions ay something new.
Yes,
in the Mayata name of Baba, a new way, even a new way of doing the same old thing. New dimensions.
Shandelele mama mande.
Shina maya.
Sinti
biya mama
manda laba.
Ine mosi biya tolo. Ine mosi biya tolo.
Manda bada bada.
Aini na sakaba.
Landa bada bada.
Kanuni makabada.
Manda lada bada.
Ya sakaba.
Ya bada bada.
Ya sakaba. Aya bada 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 bada.
Lambada Santa Falandele Mande,
lift your hands,
Mika Pandala Basante,
receive new grace,
Mandele Basante,
receive new grace,
I receive the grace, Lord.
Receive new grace.
I receive new grace, Lord. Abasande, Mandala Labasande, Lebebe, Mokobo,
new grace,
Labasata,
new grace.
Andelele mama,
new grace.
Inia na 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 mama,
new grace.
Sendeli di bana,
new grace.
Odi di bade,
new grace.
Rame di di ambele bele,
new grace.
Zamala mana mama,
new grace.
New grace, Lord.
New grace.
New grace. New grace upon my life, Lord. New grace.
Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Number six, pray. Because prayer is the first apostolic command to every minister. When Paul was talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. Now notice the number of the chapter. 2. 1 Timothy 2. Notice that it's two. I mean, Paul had said many things. Look, he taught Timothy about even how to relate with old women, how to relate with young girls, how to handle himself, how to keep himself. He talked about desires of a pastor. He talked about how he ought to even teach, the passion and the energy to teach. He touched on many things because the ministry, a church, a basenta, a santa is many things. A choir is not just singing. Ha! 2 weeks ago, my choir, they were here. Once a month, the choir, they will not come to church on Sunday. What are you talking about? They come to Anakazo on Friday evening. When do they come?
Friday.
And they leave on Sunday evening. When do they leave?
Sunday evening.
Waiting on God with a camp. Prayer. They are leaders. They are in different prayer gardens. Yeah. Prayer. Choir. Not pastors. No choir ministration. I will sing myself and preach. But even me, myself, the pastor, a lot of my camps will not be on weekend. They are Sundays. I will not be in church. Somebody else will be preaching. A choir leader or something will be preaching. I have arranged camps. I'm not doing camps which begin on Wednesday, Thursday. No. No. Many of you are here because today is a holiday. Tomorrow, some of you will not be here. Now I have my camps weekends. Friday, we are here. Friday, we are all day started. Oh, Sunday, no, it's the church service. Ah, but the camps we had in Uganda, in, what's the name of the place? Tanzania. Weekends. Kenya was weekend. Weekend. Sunday, we were at the camp. What are you talking about? Say new. I mean, there's a Sunday. What's the name of your branch? You should logo your church. The entire church service should be held in this room here. All day, morning till evening. It's a camp. The church service is not held in your church building. It's held here. Are you not a man of God? Very soon we will stop using the term lay pastor. Bishop said it in Kenya. The term lay pastor will not be used in this church. It should be called man of God, woman of God. We are joking because we don't know how to find our way to the city. The labor of a fool makes everybody tired. Why? Because he doesn't know how to find his way to the city. Ecclesiastes 10:15. Nonsense. He gave all kinds of instructions. Because I said ministry is made up of many things. But the first instruction he gave was in 1 Timothy 2. You start, say, he said, first of all, he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, first. test is not how to relate with girls. If you don't pray, telling you how to relate with girls will not change anything, because erections don't understand vector quantity. It's not the vector quantity. I'm teaching. I've been teaching for the past 6 hours. How many hours?
6 hours.
6 hours. Take your time. When you came here. And I'm now about to start the real camp. I don't feel I've done anything. I'm here with you. I need to give you a break. I'm not tired at all. I don't even feel I've started anything. I'm telling you. I'm normal. Normal. Because I am made of many things working together. You are looking at a complex being. Even my problems are many. Not two problems or one problem. You just have small menstrual pain. You don't smile. Can you come and stand there and preach for 6 hours? And still remains, you are still teaching and talking. Can you come and try? Can you come and try? Take it over. When you see someone doing something, understand. Ask yourself, why can't you go far and faster? Because you are made up of only a few parts. That's why a plane goes faster than a bicycle. That's not much to you. Even problems, you run away from problems. Yeah. A little problem, you are offended. A little problem, you have run away. A little problem, you have a headache. A little problem, you don't smile. A little problem, you have changed your dressing. We are all wearing white. You are going to wear khaki. It's like you can't flow. Do you know the problems I have right now? Do you know my? Can I tell you my problems as I stand here? The first among the many things, you see, learn it today. The first thing you do determines the second thing you will do and determines how normal you will look like. That's why no woman wears her blouse first and puts the brassiere on top. That makes you a mental patient. Even though you are wearing the same thing. Not so. It's not the same. It's not the brassiere first and then the dress top. Yeah, but you can also wear the dress first and then, or you can wear the trousers first and then the panties on top of the trousers. It's not the same thing, but the order. Say order. What you do first determines whether we are taken to the mental hospital or not. No, seriously. What you wear first. And so in the ministry also, what you do first determines whether your ministry is going to be a city ministry or not. And my dear friend, the first thing to do is not to teach shepherds. The first thing to do is not to train shepherds. Say, the first thing to do is not to do outreach. Say, the first thing you should do is not to organize a camp. The first thing Jesus did was to pray. That was the first thing, number one, was to pray. And that order determines many outcomes. That is why you are yet to find the city. That's why you are yet to break up. Some of you are not, some of you are like babies who are not even aware they are alive. Yes. It's at a certain time in your life that you become aware of yourself. But for some time, you don't even know. You are just there. If you must urinate, you just urinate. Then somebody will clean you, poo-poo, somebody will clean you, you want to buy. You say, and yeah, then they put food in your mouth. It's like, you are just there. It's called being there. And many of you are just there. That's why it is the labor, not the sleeping, not the sleeping, not the laziness. It's the labor of a fool. Note it. It's the labor. You can labor, but the order, the thing, what you did first in your labor determines that you are a fool or you are a wise person. And listen, and gentlemen, I said, your first act is to pray. Read it. You see this. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and so on. Then 2 Timothy. He said many things. 1 Timothy chapter 1, there's not much in it. There's not much. I mean, every scripture is inspired by God. But instructions, per se, what a pastor should do. It starts from chapter 2. And the first thing, yes, I know he's saying that first of all, supplications should be made for leaders. I understand it. But I'm just saying that, notice it also that the first thing he says he should do is to pray. Even if it's for leaders, it's prayer. Not how to relate with girls. Not how to relate with older women. Not how to preach or teach. It says, pray. Ladies and gentlemen, begin your ministry with prayer. Begin your day with prayer. Begin any project with prayer. Learn to give yourself 10 hours of prayer. 21 hours. 20 hours. 100 hours. Don't start a major thing without prayer. The order matters. What you wear first matters. It really matters. Even if you are wearing a slip, the slip should be inside the dress. You don't wear the slip on the dress. What you wear first matters. I want to beg all of you. Let the first thing you do be to pray. Pray. You have a basenta meeting on Thursday evening or Wednesday evening. Come home early or start the day with fasting or pray at dawn. That day that you are preaching in the evening, pray that day in a different way. Pray on Sunday morning. Don't just wear your batakari and go and preach. Pray. Because what you do first matters a lot. That's why the first apostolic instruction, as check it again, you will notice that it is 1 Timothy and chapter 2. Look at chapter 1. There's not much there. The real instructions for ministry begin in chapter 2. And the first thing is pray. Say, I exhort you. I encourage you. I teach you. I tell you, Timothy, first of all, pray. Whatever the prayer topic, just pray. I tell you, pastors, if you had prayed, if you had spent time to pray about this camp, you'd have brought more people than you have brought to this camp. Yeah. The outcome of this camp would have been different from what it is now. It's just because you just carried yourself and came to sit here. Without authority, without anointing, without faith, without power. Yeah, that's why we are here. Can you imagine? Think of somebody in your church who could have heard what you are hearing. Can you teach what I'm teaching the way I'm teaching it? Can you? Can you imagine that some 4 guys in your church were here to hear you? Make a difference. You know, my brother, before he proposed his beloved, he came to my point to come and pray. He spent 3 days here to pray. I mean, don't do anything major. Don't go for an interview. Don't take a decision. Don't embark on a journey without investing quality prayer hours in that thing. Don't, because there are, it may be, so many different kinds of voices in this world, and none of them is without signification. There are many voices in this world, and every voice is important. Every voice is important. So the things you do, don't make any impact. You have percentile meetings, but they don't affect anybody. But they don't even come. Because there's nothing there. There's nothing there. If you had prayed about last week's prayer, percentile meeting, God would have told you to invite a certain brother to come and preach. There are no new things happening in the churches. The pastor said, we don't even know what is being taught in the Bible. If they are even held at all. In fact, there's even no data. They don't even produce any data. There's no data. Things are just freewheeling because prayer hasn't been given its place. Look at Jesus. Are you not a follower of Jesus? Yes. What was the first thing he did? He was a carpenter for 30 years. Then what happened? How did he announce? What is the event that introduced Jesus to the scene? It's prayer and fasting. It was after the prayer in the wilderness that he went to the Jordan. The Jordan was first. Maybe I've not read my Bible well. He was baptized in the Jordan. Then from there, he went to the wilderness to pray. No wonder. There's not much to what you are doing. And as you are going to learn soon, some of you have had a ministry and you've stood there for Satan to eat half of it. Yes. If you remember very well, the church you have is not the church that you had a year ago or 6 months ago. It's been eaten. Chunks have been taken off. Under your supervision, because you are not alert in prayer. You've not given prayer the first place. Jesus said the first place was prayer. First, before he met John Peter, he had done prayer. He had engaged the devil because there's a devil. As you will see in point number 7, pray because the apostles refused to give up prayer when they were under pressure from administrative duties. We read it in Acts 6. Say pressure. Pressure. You think you are the only one to have pressure? How many of you sometimes have got pressure from exams? Pressure from your mother? Pressure from your father? Pressure from your school, pressure from the boy, pressure from the girl. How many of you experience pressures? Yes. You're not the only one. Life is full of pressures. And when we are under pressure, of course, we have to drop some things. Other than you're not under pressure. When you are under pressure, you can't live life. If you have exams, you can't live your life as if you don't have exams. No, then the pressure, even the tension, is necessary for you to excel. Yeah, tension is necessary for you to do well. The adrenaline is what fires up your resolve, your determination. So pressures are good. And whenever there are pressures, you have to drop something. But ladies and gentlemen, when the apostles were under pressure, they dropped things, but they did not drop prayer. They didn't drop prayer. They dropped apostles. They dropped disciples. That prayer meeting, that Acts 6:4 prayer meeting they were having, the apostles were having, they could have had it with more disciples. But some of the disciples were in their dining hall feeding the Grecian widows. You don't understand what I'm saying? The prayer meeting should have been held with 72 men. But they were only 28. Because 44 were in the dining room. Seven. So they dropped. You drop things. When you are in your exam period, you drop interactions with your beloved.
Yes.
You drop movies. Can you imagine somebody who is going to write core maths at the night before he's watching Indiana Jones? You drop. And it is true, it is important to drop things, but not prayer. They said we will never drop prayer. Prayer, when we drop prayer, we have dropped our ministry. That is why they lasted. When you're under pressure, you don't pray. Even under pressure, you have time to go to Facebook. You don't pray. That's why you must pray. You must pray because when the people we are following also were under pressure, they didn't drop prayer. Access for said, we will never stop praying. And we will never stop ministering the word. Think about you and the apostles. How different you are. How you is, even when you are not under pressure, you don't even pray. How much more pressure? When there's pressure. Peter and the other apostles took the right decision and preserved their ministries. The mystery of ministry is this. When you pray, you will give birth to many souls and much fruit. These new fruits, listen. When you pray, you will give birth to many souls and much fruit. These new fruits will demand care and time from you. Their needs will overwhelm you. You will have a genuine burden to help them. As you become engaged in helping these ones, you will find less time to pray. As you pray less, your ministry will plateau or decline. As some of you sitting here can testify that your ministry has declined because it grew and the demand it placed on you made you give up prayer. When the early church grew, the apostles came under pressure to become administrators. Shaya Kutaba. Your greatest duty, therefore, is to be able to balance the need to look after the souls and the need to pray. Never let the need to care for, visit people, love, never allow it to take prayer from you. Do not allow it. Peter and the other disciples took the right decision and preserved their ministries. They decided they were not going to drop the ministry. They were not going to drop prayer. The baton has been handed over to us. Our greatest need is to spend hours in prayer. Let us not succumb to the pressure that wants us to neglect our great responsibility of intercession. If we neglect prayer, who will do it? What is the difference between the living sections and the dead sections of the church today? It is prayer. The section that is alive is where the blood of Jesus is flowing and where people are being saved. Medically speaking, a person is alive when his heart beats and the blood flows through the body. A person is declared alive, to be alive, when the doctor can hear air blowing through the lungs. Spiritually speaking, when the blood of Jesus is flowing through the body and the people are being saved, we can say that the church is alive. When the Holy Spirit is blowing through the body, we can say that the church is alive. There are many churches where nobody is ever saved or filled with the Spirit. These are the dead parts of the church. There have always been dead parts of the church. Do you want your church to die? Do you want to be classified as a dead church? I hope not. In Revelation 3 verse 1, it says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. One of the hallmarks of what people call a revival is prayer. Why do you hear shouting and prayer all night long? Why do you hear of long prayer meetings with people speaking in tongues? In such places, you will see people being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit continually. Do not take the subject of prayer lightly. Prayer is the lifeline to your ministry. That is why the apostles did not give up the ministry of prayer, even when they were under pressure. And number 8, pray because prayer was a greater part of Christ's ministry. Are you aware that Jesus Christ dying did not end his ministry? How many of you are aware that Jesus Christ is still doing ministry? I can't hear you. How many of you are aware that Jesus Christ is still ministering right now? Not the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Can I see your hand if you are aware? All right. Now look at it. Christ's ministry was 3.5 years. Of preaching and teaching and prayer and prayer. In Hebrews 7:25, look at it. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing Hebrews 11:25, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So 3 years, 3.5 years of preaching and 2,000 years of prayer. You don't get the point I'm making. After he died, Are you aware that Jesus Christ could have still been preaching? He appeared. Are you aware he appeared to some people after he died and he spoke to them? So are you aware that Christ could appear here and be preaching? He could appear in Mali to some apostles who are in prayer. He appears. Are you aware that he appeared after he died and he spoke to them? Are you aware that he gave them fish to eat and bread, and that Jesus could appear anywhere to preach? But he's not doing that. He ever lives at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He makes intercessions. So 3.5 years of preaching to 2,000 years of prayer. Do the ratio. 3.5 over, or 2,000 over 3.5. What do you get? 2,000 divided by 3.5. 571. So 571 units of prayer to one unit of preaching. Kayadu dabayada. So that if you pray, if you preach for 1 hour, you should have prayed for 507 hours. Yes. Yes. Wow. 3.5 years of preaching, healing, teaching. I'm saying that, let me say it again. We don't get it. I'm saying that after he died, he appeared to people. Yes. The post-resurrection body. He appeared to people. And he spoke to them. So do you agree that Christ could have preached? He could have been appearing in Algeria, London, bodily to preach. Yes. But he's not doing that. He has spent at least 2,000 years praying. Which means that for every 3.5 years of preaching, you pray for 2,000 years. It means there should be more prayer in your life than your teaching in bus centers and preaching four services and so on. I'm not against four services, but how many hours have you put into prayer? How many hours? Can you imagine a singer who sings for 1 hour and she has been praying for 500 hours? That song. That one song. Are you now aware? Are you now understanding why your preaching is just farting of gases? Hello? Do you now understand that what you do in your church is nonsense? How many hours of prayer do you put into your preaching? So your preaching has no power to change anybody. The people who come to your church are just sympathizers, or they have nothing to do at home. Your ministry has no centripetal pull. It has no pull. You don't place a demand on anybody that my pastor is preaching the second in the series he began last week. I must sit down to hear what he's saying. There's nothing like that in 10 years. Because there is not much prayer. You just get up and preach. But Jesus, he was not a healing evangelist. He was teaching in a church service, in a synagogue. Normal didache. Normal what? Didache, normal teaching. A woman with evil spirits, the demons came out. He was speaking in church service. A woman with a twisted back, she was straightened. It wasn't a crusade. It wasn't a convention. It was a normal. He wasn't even having a prayer meeting. He was in the process of teaching, and bodies were straightening up. Your prayerlessness has cost you your ministry. As you are standing here, you have nothing. Because what you will have in the ministry is proportional to the amount of prayer I said something profound. I said, very little will change you. Listen to me. I'm repeating a point I made earlier. Very little will change you from outside. Anything that will propel you and give you momentum to move forward would have come from inside of you through your engagement with the supernatural powers of God. Anybody who doesn't pray has opened himself to only external stimuli. And external influences have not got much power to change you. That's why you are the way you are. You don't pray. You don't pray. People who came to this church long after you came are bishops. You don't pray. You are not spiritual. We don't forget you. We are all lay pastors. I was a lay pastor for 14 years. It's not that like my mother gave birth to me and I entered church as a full-time pastor. No. We've all been lay pastors. So what you are doing, we've done it and done it more and better. Don't confuse yourself and see yourself as a hero. You don't pray. So you don't, there's nothing like the lovely voice of God. There's nothing like the voice of God. There's not, you are just a moving engineer who is pastoring a church, a moving lawyer, a doctor, a school teacher who is also teaching books to a church. There's no power, because the power in your ministry is not from things you hear from outside. It's from inside of you. It comes inside. So you sit down and engage God. You'll never hear his will, even for your life. His will for your life. Even in the old, listen to this. Those who are standing should stand. Just stay where you are. Something is coming. Something is coming. You will love it. Even in the Old Testament, predictions were made about the great ministry of Jesus, because he was going to be an intercessor. When they spoke about him, he was predicted to be a man of prayer. Intercession truly makes you into a great man of God. I have rarely seen a great man of God who is not a man of prayer. The cycle is this. Man of prayer means man of faith means great man of God. Man of prayer means man of faith means great man of God. The bomb hasn't exploded yet. This is not the bomb, but let's take this one. Man of prayer is what? Man of faith. And the man of faith is what? A great man of God. Watch this one. Watch this one. Isaiah 58, 11. This is the bomb. Jesus. Clap your hands for Bishop Dagwood Mills. This man. Isaiah 58. 53, sorry. 53, verse 12. Watch it. It's a beautiful verse. If you are spiritual, you'll be wriggling your waist. If you are spiritual, something will be happening to you. Isaiah 53 verse 12. Listen to it. Let me titillate you. Therefore, watch this one. Isaiah 53 verse 12. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. He had poured out his soul unto death, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The man who makes intercession with the transgressors is numbered with the great. The intercessors, when we are dividing the spoil, the portion they get is the portion that strong men get. You may not even be strong, but because you are an intercessor, your members are like the members of a mighty man of God. And I understand why Yonggi Cho said, if he was to be a pastor again, may his soul rest in peace, he will sit in a room and use prayer to call the members. He said, I will divide his portion with the great. That's it. You know, life is in portions. And your portion, when we see you, what you have, your portion, is the same as great men of God. Like your, I mean, one day I sat in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, at a table. I saw the picture recently. I was sitting with fathers, South African fathers, Zimbabwean. I was the only little boy. And I noticed that. I said, what am I doing at this table? What am I doing here? How did I get to sit here? You don't get to sit at this table. Big, big fathers, old founders, or the fathers of the ministry of the church. And I sat there, we were chatting. And I noticed that my portion had become the portion of the greats. The posters that great men are on. This Fiangel Langa 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 boy. His face is also there. The next time we are looking for you, may we find you where great men are found. Because you are a prayer warrior. You are a prayer intercessor. You are a praying shepherd. I said, the next time we look at your ministry, may your ministry resemble the ministry of anointed fathers, founders. Jesus! And then when we are sharing, he has 12, she has 11, and he has 502. This number, only strong men have it. And he's not strong. He's not strong, but he's also an intercessor. Your prayer life is what is revealing the state of your ministry. Your basenta, which can grow beyond 3 members, is the loudest noise we can hear about your prayerlessness. That you are sitting here having been a shepherd for 5 months and you have nothing to show. The mean, it's not because you are fornicating. You don't pray. Ask your neighbor, do you pray? Ask around. Katuda, Kadasudaba, Kai Kataba, Kitokoko Basata, Adimbro Kasi, Shaniama, Bazindo Lebos, Igriba Simpatolaba, Mayataba, Zimini Kadosi, Romina Namama, Ramazin Dedi Bazuni Mayada. Ramayan Dalababa Ramazimi Madon Derebosa Ramayan Dalababa Ziminimo She Bariando Lobosa
I receive it, Lord.
Rabasandala baba. Zimini mayatola baba. Remi no sibini mayanda. Zamayandala baba.
Andele mosa.
Ime madundidi basi priba. Zimini mamo rimanda ba. Pray.
Zimini mambo yehetebe Shamandama
Shamandama Nimosa Adiabosa Sondimi Samana mama
Lanshandele Samala baba Imbiri mi sotoli baham telemanda sata
Ramada ba santa laba
Indelebeka baba Rabada satunde
Samala mama
Indelebeka bale mama
Mamri
baba la sindele molia enele
mama sata. We are taking a break, but let me finish with this. Number 9, why should you pray? Pray because prayer. Can you sit down? Let me. This is too strong for you to stand. You can't take it standing. Pray because prayer releases captives. Prayer does what? I'm going to explain to you today. Today is the first time you are going to understand, sir, why your prayerlessness is the reason why new converts don't stay in your church. New converts don't respond to follow-up. I've not been doing follow-up. New converts don't respond to follow-up. Somebody who has just gotten born again, you go and sit in church and say, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo. When the person hasn't even done GHS 2, you are a stupid girl. Baptizo. I'm about to show you what new converts respond to. Then we close. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Zanuama kata. Shika. Are you ready for this one? Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm ready. One of the things Jesus announced, I'm going to talk about Jesus, then I will talk about the devil. Then we will finish. In Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. The gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And watch it right there. To preach deliverance to the captives. Anybody who is bound in the bondage of sin, pornography, masturbation, unbeliever friends, worldliness, worldly music, I mean, girls, boys, and is a captive. One of the things that frees them is the preaching. Just preaching. See, as I've been preaching for 7 hours. Some of you sitting here don't even seem to understand what I'm saying. You are lost. Some of you are hungry. You look hungry. But what you don't know is that you are changing. Something is happening to you. Do you know why you are changing? Preaching alone is enough to bring you out of captivity. Preaching alone can bring you out. Any bond, anything that's a bondage that you are suffering from, as you sit under there, and there's an anointing here. And as you are sitting here, you don't know. It is when you live here that you will realize that your appetite for that boy has markedly been attenuated by the presence that is here. Has been markedly attenuated. Has been pitted down. Now, sir, who's preaching? Who's preaching? Releases captives. Who's preaching? Is it the bishop's preaching? Is it the reverend's preaching? Is it the pastor's preaching? Is it the shepherd's preaching? Is it the singer's preaching? Who's preaching? The answer is right. Your guess is right. It is only the preaching of a very prayer-drenched man. He has not said, come out. He has not said, you are released. Come out. No, he's just speaking. But the words. And the words are powerful because he has been praying. Now, enough of Jesus. Now, I want to show you who the devil is. Go to Isaiah 14. Today, I'm about to unveil the devil to you before we go out for a little break and come back. We are having a camp. Are you there in Isaiah? Who's preaching? Who's preaching sets captives free? Who is that? Which reverend? Which of you reverence? Isaiah 14. Is Isaiah in the New Testament? Sorry, new, eh? Oh, old, eh? Old Testament, okay. Isaiah 14, okay, Old Testament. Listen to this one. Breaking news. You don't know the devil. That is why you think that follow up. I'm explaining to you why your follow-up team is one of the most useless groups on earth. Because they don't pray. Let's read it. Isaiah 14, verse 16. I start. This is the devil. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? When the devil has been brought down and has been bound, the people who look at this, is this the guy who made the earth to tremble? So now, Satan is being described. Number one is that he makes the earth to tremble. It's not over. Number two, that did shake the kingdoms. Today in the world, kingdoms are shaking. People's kingdoms, economic kingdoms, financial kingdoms, political kingdoms, racial kingdoms. He shakes kingdoms. That's the devil. He shakes kingdoms. Number three, verse 17. I'm ending. That made the world as a wilderness, You are reading in English the characteristics of the devil. One is that he does what? Number one is what? He makes the earth to tremble. Number two is what? He shakes the kingdom. Number three is what? He makes the world into a wilderness. It's like he destroys entire nations. You go to buildings that were banks. Owls are in them. Owls. Mansions are being inhabited by foxes. That's the devil. Great things. He's able to make great things useless. So those who see him, they say, ah, but is this the man, not the man, who turned the world into a wilderness? Like one nuclear explosion can wipe out, can even shake the axis of the earth. And number four, destroyed the cities thereof. That's the devil. Can you think of cities which have been destroyed by tsunamis, by COVID, by this? Cities destroyed by atomic bombs, destroyed. Today, go to Los Angeles. It's a wilderness. Banks are leaving. Companies, Los Angeles, it's like drug addicts have taken over streets. You can't even enter your house. You have to jump over drug addicts. 2 days ago, a baby, somebody working in a school, apparently was using drugs. There's a drug called fentanyl. And I think, I don't know what happened. He went to hide the drug under a mat that a baby was on. The baby died instantly. Drugs. California, drugs. New York, drugs. Haba. I think they say 20 million people in New York. 20 million or no? Is it 2 or 20? Smoke weed. We smokers. New York State. But my dear friend, the reason why I'm reading this is not because he causes the earth to tremble, or he shakes the kingdoms, or he makes the world into a wilderness, or he destroys cities. What's the next one? Look at it. English. What's the next sentence? Yes, I want the King James. That what?
Opened not the house of his prisoners.
Satan does not open the house of his prisoners. Sir, I don't know what I want to tell you. You don't know. You don't understand. I said, new converts are not kept by follow-up. If you have follow-up members in your church, better organize them to be a prayer force. 3 evenings, they must be in church praying. If you have follow-up people. Because one of the hallmarks of Satan is not the horns or the cross. One of the things he does is that Satan, he does not open the doors to the people he has captured. So the guy who has come to the church, you think you've got the guy. He was a former gay person, former drug addict, former whatever, he has come. He is sitting in the chair, but he has not been released. Mommy, it is only prayer that releases him. If you have not prayed, that boy, that girl will be in the church for 3 years. She will go back to where she came from. I can give you names. We pray and bind and block and destroy and whatever, because Satan, one of his things is that, like if you are away, we know that you are likely to be an eater of banku and okro soup. If you come from the north, it's likely you are into dessert. Likely. You may not, but likely. You know. Satan, listen. When they say write an essay about the devil, anybody you know that the devil... See, I sat in a meeting recently and a boy told us a story of the things he was doing when he, before he came to church. I said, this boy, we must not think of him as a member. If prayer hasn't gone on, prayer. Look. Is it drugs? One of his fantasies was that in the night, there are children here. I've seen children. I won't speak. Sir, today I'm announcing that Satan, he does not open doors. So the guy may be in the church, but he has not been released. I said, the guy, that sexy girl is in the church. She has joined the choir. The former prostitute, the former drug dealer. Look, I know, TBN, there was a pastor. Zachary Timms. He was into drugs. High-end drugs. Zachary Timms. You can Google his name. He built a big church till he was on TBN. Read how he died. His end was the same drugs. He's finishing. He was found in his bathtub with drugs. Satan does not open doors. Read it for me again in English. And that openeth not the house of his prisoners. If Satan makes somebody his prisoner, he doesn't open. It's not in his nature to open doors. So as you think that, oh, the guy he was doing, he was into betting, he was an armed robber, he has now changed, he has even shared a testimony of what, I can give you names of people in our church who have shared testimonies and today are back to square one. Because what? Satan
does not let his prisoners go.
Does not let his prisoners go. It is not in him to open doors.
He doesn't even open the house.
The door to the house. He doesn't open. He doesn't have keys. So even you, yes, you are here. Be careful. If you had a certain life, the person who gave birth to you, the person who put you in the church, if the person hasn't prayed you here, I can tell you with authority and on authority that you are going back. You will go. You do not belong here. That's why Paul said in Galatians 5:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ. Shakuta kaya tatara. You don't pray? You don't want to pray? You are somebody you don't want to pray? You think that, oh, you just went, you use patapa and akazo, you push the person into the bus, you brought him to church 4 times. The person is sharing a testimony. I used to steal, I used to have this, I used to do this. Look, I've been bad, oh. I've been very bad. The things I've heard in the past few weeks, the type of sin, I've not even read it in the book. I've not even imagined it. The things I heard as I traveled. The things people have done. Look, that's what I'm saying to you, that from today, convert your follow-up team into prayer warriors. Because Satan does not open houses. That's why your members, your converts, show me your data. Show me how many new converts have come to your church. And how many are there? Why are you quiet? Don't you have data? Sir, don't you have data for your church? New converts data? New belief? You don't have it? You don't have it? You have? How many names have come into the church so far? Maybe he has not counted them. Plenty. And ask yourself, ask your husband, where are they? Ask him. Mommy, I'm not joking. Ask him, where are they? Where are the converts? Ask, where are the converts? Yeah, because converts don't respond to follow up. They respond to prayer that releases captives. Anyone here who thinks that you can use ice cream, yeah, and you can use clothes, blouse and shoe, or you can use airtime or money, or you can use love to put a soul in church, you are led by the devil, not by the Spirit of God. Satan, today, as if you have to write an essay, no, understand, Satan, he doesn't know how to open doors for prisoners to go free. So if you don't force the door open, you will never. Some of you standing here in this room, if work hasn't been done properly on you, in 2 years' time, you will not be in church. And none of you here from tonight should be surprised. Finally, pray, because prayer availeth much. Much. How many of you want to see much? Much power, much members, much authority, much income, much flow, much converts. It is prayer that any much you want to see in numbers, much. Numerical increase. It comes from prayer. The Bible says, and I'm going to read some translations to you. The Bible says in James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. To avail much means to succeed. It means to prevail. It means to overcome. It's prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. When you see a man whose preaching is working, at the base of the preaching is prayer. He has prayed. It's not preaching. The first instruction Paul gave was not to be holy. Was to pray. To avail much means to overcome. To avail much means to be able to do something. Many of you can't do the church. You can't do the church. You are a failure. You are a failure. The real description of what you are doing, you are a failure. You have failed. And it's not because you want to tema secondary. It's not because you are an at this school boy. You have failed because you don't pray. Not because you don't have your quiet time. You don't pray. You are a failure. Accept that you are a failure. You must print on your t-shirt, I am a failure in ministry. I have failed. And I have failed not because I didn't read my Bible or didn't buy a Bible. I have failed because I didn't pray. I didn't pray. I've not made prayer my ministry. Prayed. I failed. To avail much means to be helpful. Many of you are not helpful. There's nothing. You don't add numbers. You don't add income. We don't feel your help. We have spent money to build the church building you are in. We don't get any returns. There's nothing we are doing that we feel like if your church doesn't join, we feel that there is a lacuna. a huge lacuna has been created. There's nothing like that. There's no void. When you are there, we don't feel you. When you are absent, there's nothing we see. I mean, it's like you are literally inconsequential. Literally, you are inconsequential. Your presence, your absence. When we, like Makane is doing something, and you are not part of it, it doesn't change. But if Makane is doing something and my church doesn't join, it doesn't work. Yes. Can you say that about your church? You're not helpful. And it's not because you are an Ashanti. You're not helpful because you don't pray. Because only prayer avails much. Not preaching, not loving, not visiting. It is even to visit. It is on the basis, on the foundation of prayer. When you don't pray, nothing you do works, even if it must work. You're not helpful. To avail much is to make an impact. You can't make an impact. To avail much is to strike an impression. It's like when you see your ministry, it makes an impression. Something very powerful happens. You preach, it's nice grammar, nice way, you are making a point. But really, I mean, we can't see the impact you are making. And the reason is that you have not put prayer in its right place in your life. To avail much means to accomplish much. It means to be effective. Listen to some two or three translations as we end. The Phillips translation says, James 5:16, Phillips translation says, tremendous power is made available through a good man's earnest prayer. A good man's earnest prayer. Tremendous power. The Olaf M. Nolly translation. Olaf M. Nolly translation says, the prayer of a righteous man can bring powerful results. Powerful results. The Amplified translation says, the prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Power. I mean, it's a dunamis church. There's power under. The man smiles, there's power. The man sings, there's power. The man wears sports jeans, there's power. The man laughs, there's power. The man calls for games. People are being healed when they are playing games. Tremendous. Don't follow people who pray and think that you can act like them. Wake up. And the Williams translation, the last one, Williams translation. He said, an upright man's prayer, when it keeps at work, is very powerful. An upright man's prayer, when it keeps working, is very powerful. I pray that your prayer will change the color, the scope, the scape. I pray that prayer will introduce brand new dimensions, brand new anointings, brand new capacities, brand new strengths, brand new heights and levels. I pray for somebody here that prayer today, the spirit of prayer. When you hear somebody preaching well, don't think it's a preaching. At the base of the preaching is prayer. When you see somebody having a crusade, don't think it's a crusade. He has prayed before he's standing there. Do you pray? How much prayer have you put into your life? How much prayer have you put into your life? And go home with this. The devil does not open houses. When he takes you as a captive, it is permanent. Any escape will be a result of violent prayer. fervent, effectual fervent, which releases dynamic power to shatter doors. And I pray that in our churches, there'll be prayer. In our basentes, there'll be prayer. I pray that in this Pedriase Council, there'll be a day that shepherds gather to pray. They fast during the day, and the evening is a convocation, a weekly convocation of prayer to bind devils, to release captives, to let the chained go free, to let the word of God have its free course. Prayer to release fruits. I pray that you will not be pastors walking about, moving up and down, just preaching in your church, going home, weekday service, if you even have it. Many of you don't have weekday service. You just put figures there and you send them. Not doing nothing. Why? Because you're not trained well? Because you are fornicating? I know you are committing adultery, not so. I said you are committing adultery. No. You steal church offerings. You are a thief. No. He rather put his money in the church. But prayer is what is lacking. Lift your two hands. And pray.
Pray.
That you cannot wake up at 4 a.m. to pray even once a week. It's an indictment on you. You cannot wake up. Even once, just once, 4 a.m. to pray for 3 hours. No.
Irayanda Raba Santa Ramaya Baba Yendere Makababa Yandaraba Imaya Baba Santa Raba Santara
Imakabaya Baba
Yandaraba Santori
Amano Energy
Kabayandara
Baba
Imama Ziandara
no Imaka nothing left of you
Imama Zantara Bazantara Izantori Aba Santara
It's prayer, Father, we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Mackinac Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.